Hey, hope you had a uneventful trip over here, as I can imagine. I imagine that is not the case, but I'm going to be talking about that. When you think something is so impossible, it really isn't. And that's the title of my message, is the Not So Impossible Journey. With a small group that we are, we really go through a lot, don't we? And since we are a small number, the trials that we go through each go through affect us in some way or even in the same way, for we all suffer together. That's something we hear about all the time. And we are a family, and with this group that we have right now, it definitely feels like a family for sure. But I don't think there's anybody here that has not gone through any trials, especially recently, right? Now, perhaps even your trip here, whether it be driving or flying or biking or walking or whatever you did to get here, there were some trials that you went through. Maybe you got stuck in the mud, right? Maybe a flight was delayed if you had a connecting flight, maybe not. Maybe you had a great trip over here. But there was always something, even before the feast, that could have happened. You know, there's delays, there's weather, unexpected circumstances, which is usually the case, annoyances and distractions that are always there to throw us off. Now, we hear about all these diseases out there in the world, which affects everyone. And every year we go through a flu season or an allergy season, or of course, what recently has been happening with COVID the past 2 years, but it affects everyone. But there is a condition that only a few suffer from. The very few that are sitting here today, including God's church, his people that he has graciously chosen to part of his future family. And the rest of the world does not suffer from this at all, not from this condition. Now, I did speak about this years ago, and you may recall what I spoke about, this condition. But it hasn't changed, which is why I can continue talking about this every single year until you really get tired of hearing it. But it is something that happens every single year. Now, good news is there is a cure every time we are affected by it. In some cases, it is rectified almost immediately when seeking God's help. But in other cases, it takes a little bit longer. But the key is on us that we do not give up. Putting it in God's hands when we have done all that we can do is all it takes. And then comes patience. And patience never ends. And that is vital. And also the reason we do still go through trials every single year. And it will not end until the kingdom is here. So, what is this condition we are so familiar with that I have alluded to before? You remember PFT, the pre-feast trials? Now, since the feast hasn't started yet, we still go through that. It officially starts tomorrow night, so we're probably still going to go through PFT, right? Now, we certainly have not forgotten about that every time a trial comes about. But have we experienced the symptoms associated with PFT very recently? Are we still dealing with it? Now, like I said before, this is not a bad thing. But it should be considered encouraging as God is the one who brings this about by allowing us to go through various tests. And it is not for the purpose of imperfection, but it's supposed to bring us closer to perfection. Now, those of us who have been called out of this world, everybody here in this room, everybody listening in, hopefully, right? Who live by the law of God and observe his commanded Sabbaths and holy days, can thereby expect these trials of every caliber to impact us in some way. every time we personally go through a trial, it is a big deal, because a big deal to us, right? Because it is something that we specifically are dealing with that's affecting us. We may think differently if somebody else is going through a trial, but just always put yourself in their situation. Now again, the challenge of speaking right before the feast begins is what to speak about right before the feast begins. Because I don't necessarily want to address this very topic, since we are going to be hearing all about it, especially tomorrow night in the opening night message about our journey even getting here. But what I am going to do, I'm going to give you a brief recap and a rundown of what this time we're going to be observing celebrates and what it represents. Now, we just have observed Feast of Trumpets, First Fall Holy Day Observance, which pictures a soon coming return of Jesus Christ's earth. And we read about Leviticus 23, and also in 1 Corinthians 15, 52, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. And we heard that message by Dave Harris, who was listening in, and I say hello. And we heard all about that. And this also pictures our resurrection, or change to immortality, to be born again into the kingdom or family of God. And that further you can read about in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 to 54, and verses 42 to 49, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, John 3, 3, verses 5 to 8. So there's plenty in the Bible, Old and New Testament, which talks about that day. Now, have we experienced any trials on that day? Maybe it's so far behind us, or maybe we've gone through so many trials in the meantime that we've forgotten what trials we went through. But maybe something did specifically happen on that day. Well, just 2 days ago, we observed the Day of Atonement, where we refrained from partaking of any and all solid food or liquid for a period of 24 hours. And this day had symbolized those called by God during this life, having received at one mint with God. And those who can receive at one mint with God after Christ's return, transfer of sin to Satan as the one who is ultimately responsible for all sins. And we heard about that also in Leviticus 23 and also Acts 27 verse 9. And once again, we heard that message by Mr. Dave Harris, who alluded to that. So again, notice in both these days who it is specifically referring to here, the ones that are called out, everybody here in this room, the very few that are chosen, the very few that go through PFT. Now, have we experienced any trials on that day? Obviously, besides the fasting for 24 hours, that's already a trial on its own, because that is, we see just how important food is, food and drink for a body. But I know personally, it was definitely a trial on that day, since we had a bad plumbing issue. And it just had to happen on that day, where the plumber had to come because he had to make sure we were there. And so we thought we were going to have to leave our house. It was like, okay, we can't even use toilets. We can't even use the sink, the bathtub. Everything was clogged up and nothing was draining. And yeah, it's a mess anyway. So you want to be there for 24 hours when you can't even use anything. And then fortunately someone did come, and I didn't, of course, necessarily want to have that all done on that day, especially when they came towards the end of the day before we were going to have dinner, asking that I could help in my weakened state. So anyway, it's just another distraction or a trial that you go through, and perhaps, especially if you're traveling, right? Did you encounter any trials on that day? Well, despite all the trials and challenges that we are faced with, guess what? We are all here right now together at this designated site where we will observe the Feast of Tabernacles that will begin tomorrow evening for the next 7 days, concluding with the last great day on the eighth day. And we're going to hear about it, but I'm going to just give you a little heads up. But this period symbolizes the reign of Christ for 1,000 years, together with the saints who are made immortal, during which time Satan will be bound and the entire world will be living under the government of God. I'm not even going to go to the scriptures. I'm not even going to mention those scriptures because we are going to be hearing about that. So that's a little recap there. And of course, the last great day, which also symbolizes a 100-year period called the Great White Throne Judgment, during which all people who have ever lived and who were never called by God for salvation during this life will have their first opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. Now, all of these days are commanded by God to keep, and they are still in effect today. And this is described, if people wonder, you know, really easily, just go to our statement of beliefs on our website, and this will all sound very familiar. And it describes it right there, what it is that we keep and why we do it. Now, as this has been the topic of discussion recently and will most likely continue to be so during the feast, we are expected to examine ourselves as stated in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27-31, just like we do during the Passover season, and also making sure that we don't take the Passover in an unworthy manner. But this shouldn't be limited to just the Passover season, because we're always supposed to examine ourselves, because we are always tested. So every trial that we go through, everything that we are faced with, we're always examining ourselves to see how we're going to handle and take care of this trial. Again, this is not to be considered negative, but we look to ourselves expecting a positive result. Our self-examination should determine that we are on the right track, that Christ does, in fact, live in us. And if, during our examination period, a Christian finds that he is lacking in some aspects, what do we need to do? We go through a trial, and we need help, especially if we did something we shouldn't have done, which a lot of times is the case, our initial reaction, right? When we ask for forgiveness, we need to repent of that, asking God, looking to God for his help. And he needs to resolve and make, or that person, we need to resolve and make an effort to do better. And at the same time, need to understand that with God's help, he can and must and will do better. Now, we have a booklet entitled The Meaning of God's Spring Holy Days, which just talk about that in more detail, of how we do that, because it's more focusing toward in the springtime during the Passover season. But again, this is something we go through every day, all the time. And we're not being tested for the purpose of failing. And unfortunately, there have been people that have took that route. And they have just quit and have given up. It was too much. They come to the church all excited. It's like, wow, I need to leave this life behind where I haven't been happy. Then they come into the church, and then the trials and tests occur. And so, you know, this is too much. I'm going to go right back into the world where I came out of. It happens a lot. It happens every year. But it is not for the purpose of failing, but it is for the expectation of success. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. So we can just put our name right here in these verses if you want. Make this personal. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Tested by fire. Now, we heard in the sermonette how this world will be consumed by fire. You know, this is, and so our trials are, in a sense, the same way. We go through tough trials. A normal human being who hasn't been called couldn't handle what we go through, whether big or small, whether it is the way it is affecting us. There are times that are really, really tough. Now, the countdown to these fall feast days are now upon us. And the effects of PFT have been increasing more and more, especially lately. I can't even remember. I mean, we say it every year. I can't even remember how many prayer requests that we have had and how many people really got hit. Like, whether it be over in Europe, whether it be here, even with our small group, it's like every single person here. You know, how we've been hit with certain trials or sickness or something right before the feast. And they seem like they're becoming stronger and stronger. Again, not to be taken negatively, but it's a positive thing. For this is something we are and have to go through to get closer and closer to the ends and what we can expect. And as I said, we're being tested on the very things that we struggle with the most. There could be something we specifically struggle with that nobody else would struggle with. It wouldn't affect them in any way. But to us, personally, it does. And again, what is our reaction? How do we handle this situation? Now, we do fail from time to time, especially during the initial stages of a trial. In recognizing our actions when going through a trial, we are thereby examining ourselves and accepting the fact that we must do better if you want to be counted worthy. And the suffering that we all go through is the beneficial part of God's plan. Since we're still in 1 Peter, let's read chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, suffered every day, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It is leading to that perfection that we need. Now, when a trial is upon us, we shouldn't feel defeated right at that moment, for God says that we will not be tempted or tested beyond our ability. So do you think about that, right, that moment when a trial sets in? You think right about, okay, we can handle this, or else this trial wouldn't even be here. No, probably not. I mean, I don't know if you think about that right there at that moment when something, you know, affects us. But it will. It will come around. Then you do start to wake up, let's say, and think about that. Because we know that God is always present in our time of need, and he's confident in us that we will overcome. That's something that we also have to consider. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He's confident that we will make it. Now, if we believe this, then we will be able to conquer the effects of PFT. Since we all are, since we're all here, I'm pretty sure we have conquered that so far, right? Now, we are also here to witness God's miraculous power. For there are people here that shouldn't even be here, humanly speaking. I know we've been hit with, you know, illness or whatever it may be, and it, through God's miracle, has healed us. I know there are still sick people among us. Sure, not everybody could be here. But less than a week ago, there were many among us that were sick. And the timeliness of traveling to the feast seemed grim, especially traveling on airlines. As strict as everything is with sickness, it's like, how is this going to happen? People had COVID even, a week before they left. So that's where we all come together in prayer and, you know, obviously praying to God that he will take care of the situation. We do everything we can, and then we put the rest into his hands. And like I said, we know that everybody can't be here, and not because of old age, but it's also due to health concerns, and we completely understand, we sympathize with you, and we say hello, and of course we all wish that you could be here. But in one way or another, you are going to celebrate the feast. For those listening in, it doesn't stop. We continue to pray as we do for each other. And know that you're not alone. Again, we leave it up to God. God has a plan. God knows what he's doing. He understands the situation. And for those of us who are here, we're going to try to enjoy ourselves, right? Minimally. We don't want to have you listening in feel jealous about what we all have planned for. We're going to have a great time. Don't tell. But it is, I'm excited to be here. I mean, I hope you are all too. It's been, you know, it's been tough, you know, living this daily life we do. And this is always something we look forward to every year. And I don't know about you, but I'm loving this weather. This is perfect. So we've had some hot weather where, you know, I'm sure all of you have gone through. But yeah, no, it's great to be here and happy. Now, I want to still speak about our journey. As I said, the title message is the not-so-impossible journey. But our journey even getting here, for we all traveled from various locations to get here, had some interesting experiences along the way, as is usually the case most of the time. You rarely hear that the trip was perfect. How was your trip? Ah, no problem. There was absolutely nothing, no problems at all. Now, if that is you, then that's great. But what about the leading up to your departure? Like I said, the couple weeks or whatever beforehand, was there nothing that you went through, no trials at all? I know preparation is a task all by itself, and it can be stressful. Who has an eventless or stressless packing day? You know, packing, getting things together, what to bring, especially if you're flying. You are very limited in what you can bring. Those who are driving, it's great. Just pack everything from the floor to ceiling. But flying, that's a different story. And it is, I mean, it's a different kind of stress you go through. It's still stressful, no matter how you see it. Now, any stressful moments on our way to the feast is, yeah, it's tough, right? Or even shortly before. Well, whatever the stressful moments you were in, it's always a tough road ahead of us, especially for those who drove here from our homes. Now, this year, family and I, or us San Diegans, didn't have to drive as far. It's 5.5-6 hours. You know, and there's some that drove a day or two, a whole week across the country. That's a journey. And you've gone through many kinds of roads, haven't you? Now, physically speaking, roads are important as they lead us from one place to another. As you have heard, there are many different types of roads. And they all have different purposes, compose also different material and conditions. For example, dirt road is not ideal in rainy weather because dirt then turns to mud and then you get stuck. And I can bring this up because there's somebody here that went through that and had a, what, 8-9 hour delay just to get the mud out and just to get out of the mud in your very own driveway on top of that. Yeah. Now it's easier to have an appropriate vehicle when you do live on a dirt road, and there's some of us here that also live on dirt roads, but even there have your challenges, especially when it rains. And what's the purpose of a car wash? I mean, there's really no purpose of that. Now, I gotta say, I don't think I've washed my car in like 2 years, and I did wash my car, when was it, the day before we left, and guess what happened? It rained. Unbelievable. That was nowhere in the forecast. I'm like, okay, well, here we go. And I knew it. But yeah, just like that. Comes out of nowhere. Now, we also have paved roads, asphalt, which is obviously the most desired. And it's the most safe, you know, traveling at high speeds freeways and the main roads. But if you've been driving in California, it's also the most prone to potholes. And if you have a lowered vehicle, or that is not ideal. And in California is horrendous with the roads. I mean, I don't, especially where we live, and every time it does rain, I mean, they put maybe 1 or 2 inches every time when they resurface the roads, and it takes weeks and weeks to get that all taken care of. And then it just rains and it doesn't even last that much longer. And California is in the top 5 of the worst road conditions. So we depend on roads, though, however, to travel on. And it gets us from here to there. But with all the roads that we travel on daily, roads that we count on so we can reach our destination, how are we doing on our spiritual road we are traveling on? Now, we chose to go down a specific road, a road that will hopefully lead us in the right direction. But this is, again, no ordinary road, but one that contains many hazardous conditions, perhaps some detours, delays, definitely not an easy road to travel on. But there's only a select few that will travel on this road, just like there's only that select few that go through PFT. We go through PFT on this specific road. Now, what kind of road is this? And why would anyone want to travel on this type of a road? Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 talks about this road. And here is where the list of words come into play. The verse starts off by giving us a choice. There's either a narrow way or a wide way. It's a fork in the road that we have reached. So which road are we going to take? Now, we've seen the scenario many times. On TV, we've seen it in cartoons, seen it in the comics about this road, and you see this one road here that looks more appealing than the other at first sight. The left one looks very attractive, looks very tempting, it's enticing, full speed ahead, no distractions, nothing that's going to veer us off, and no bumpy roads, no dirt roads. Now, the majority of the people would take this road, but they fail to see the trap that is set before them, as it will ultimately lead to a dead end. Now, the road on the right, this looks a lot less appealing. Not to mention it's incredibly narrow, requiring a considerable uphill effort as far as the eye can see. But also fail to realize where the road ends. It's far from dead. There's no dead end on this road. So, first glance, which road do we choose? Now, the world will choose the left way. And we would choose the right way. See what I did there? Anyway. Well, focusing on our road, we can see that the road is a long, very long, with many winding turns that leads us to who knows where. Who knows that song? I was planning on singing it, but it's okay. But if you don't know that song, maybe you know The Long and Winding Road by the Beatles. Now, why do they sing about roads? You know, or the Hollies, the earlier song I was referring to, that have similar lyrics. Now, the title, Long and Winding Road, refers to the life we live. It has its turns, has its ups, has its downs. And it can sometimes appear very, very long. And we also encounter these hazardous conditions along the way, like bumps and potholes, whatever kind of distraction or kind of nuisance you hit on the road. Now, we need to be cautious at all times. We need to pay attention by not letting distractions get in the way. Watch what we are doing. keeping our eyes forward when we're driving, watch out for what lies ahead, so we are prepared. Now, there may be times that we may come across a roadblock. We've always come across a roadblock. And that does happen quite often, where we face a condition in our path and we get stuck. But it may only be a delay. We're not going to be stuck forever. We have to be a little more patient. So we need to find an alternate route, such as a detour, which will lead us then back into the right direction. But at the same time, we have to be careful not to drift off course. That means we still have to follow the signs and don't try to put matters into your own hands, like finding some shortcut, and then you don't have any service, you have no idea where you're going. And if you really rely on GPS, that leads you into a lake or who knows where. Are you really going to blindly follow that right into the lake without even noticing? People have done that. I'm sure you heard those stories. But we have to be careful not to drift off course. But also have to be careful that we realize our mistakes, as we are still human. We got to get back on track, find the connector that leads us right back onto the main road we are traveling on. Now, what is difficult to avoid is the road of the world, that road that is on the left, as it will from time to time travel parallel with our road. And we have to make sure that does not intersect, giving us an easy pathway to then enter the wrong way. Now, there's going to be many opportunities and temptations along the way, signs that we must ignore if we want to reach our final destination. Be aware of those U-turns as we are traveling on a one-way street. We need to avoid going back into the world since we came out of it. Now, Isaiah 35 verse 8 talks about this road in the future, the road that we are presently on. So I'll read that real quick. Isaiah 35 verse 8. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. So this road will become a highway of holiness. This is our road that we need to take to Jerusalem, a road that we need to take to Christ. And there is going to be a time when everyone then will have that chance to travel that road. But we have first chance to go on it now. John Gill's commentary of the Bible explains the verse in this way. Christ is a highway cast up by sovereign grace, which is raised above the mire and dirt of sin and carries over it. And from it, a way visible and manifest, clearly pointed to and described in the everlasting gospel. It is the King's highway, the highway of the King of Kings, which he has ordered and appointed and is common to all his subjects, high and low, rich and poor, stronger or weaker believers. All may walk in this way. It is an old beaten path, which saints in all ages from the beginning of the world have walked in. It is the good old way, the more excellent, the most excellent one. All obstructions and impediments are removed, cast in by sin, Satan, the law, and the world. Nor is anyone to be stopped and molested in this way, and in all it shall come safe to their journey's end. So it shall be called the way of holiness. Christ leads his people in paths of unrighteousness, in the paths of truth, of ordinances, and of worship. Now again, it says here that the unclean shall not pass over it, referring to those who choose not to be clean, who do not want to go the way of Christ, but it shall be for others. Those who want to live righteously, those who were blind and now can see, who were deaf and now can hear. Now, Gills continues on saying, the wayfaring men, at the end of this verse, though fools shall not err, or shall not err therein, or travelers, such the saints are, they are strangers, or pilgrims, sojourners, like what we're doing, traveling here. They have no continuance here. They are like wayfaring men that abide by, but for a night they are bound for another country, a better, even a heavenly one, or at least shall arrive thither. Now, these, though they have been fools in their unregenerated state with respect to spiritual things, or though they may not have that sharpness of wit and quickness of natural parts as some men have, and though they may not have that clear, distinct knowledge of gospel, the gospel truths as others, at least as some of them, yet shall not err as to the way of salvation. And though they may err or mistake in some things, yet not in the main, not fundamentally nor finally, the way of salvation by Christ is so plain a way that he that has any spiritual understanding of it shall not err in it. So this is why we have chosen this road. We are still traveling on this road, and we will eventually reach our final destination if we remain focused, fruitful, and faithful. So let me go back to Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 to end, reading about this narrow way. Matthew 7, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. That left road. What's referring to with the wide road. Now, verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are few who find it. And again, it's something that we need to look for. You know, we see this road, but now we have to take the next step and continue on that road. And the key is to continue on that road. And again, it always talks about that very few. The very few that have gone through the PFT trials that we continue to go on. The very few who take this road that leads us to that final destination. So if we want to be fruitful and faithful, we need to obey God and his commands by putting our trust in his hands and have the faith that he will continue to be with us. And put it to the test, because if we do that, we will be blessed.